Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Well, apparently I need help. I mean, everybody's giving me advice right now about this thing called retirement. Maybe I'm walking around with this look on my face. I can remember at my retirement party here about 4 months ago, I got advice literally from everybody. But that advice kind of fell into three buckets. One bucket was, heck no, you can't do that. I mean, you'll wither away and it just won't be healthy for you, Steve, to retire. That was one bucket. The second bucket was, heck yeah, you're going to have a 20-year vacation. How many trips do you have planned? They were so excited for me for that one. And then the one I heard most was, what the heck are you going to do next, Steve? You got to fill that time with something. Everybody's giving me advice on retirement. So I thought, hey, let's do a show on retirement. Because a lot of people are saying, you know, maybe they don't want to work that hard in retirement anymore. Anyway, today, over the next couple of days, we're going to talk about retirement in Montana, what it looks like. We're going to start by dissecting the numbers. What does it mean to our economy as Montanans retire? We've got a great guest to help us with that. And then on day two, tomorrow, we're going to talk about how to figure out your next on retirement. All of that coming up on Voices of Montana. Okay, we're going to figure out this whole retirement thing, but we're going to start. I like to start with the economics. What does it really mean? And we have a great guest with us today. I've worked with Mary Craigle for so many years. I respect the heck out of her. She is the bureau chief. Mary, you're the bureau chief for research and analysis. Describe that official title for me.
Sure, Steve. And thank you so much for having me on. I run the Research and Information Services Bureau at Commerce, and we have three programs, but they're all related to economic research. So, well, what are the demographics and economics of Montana? How do we attract tourists through our tourism research program? And how do we grow our industry sectors within Montana through our industry development program? So those are the three programs.
Mary, you're so, even you've been working for Montana for how many years now?
I'm in my 31st year.
Yeah, and
I've worked at eight different agencies, so I was always a moving target. But yeah, I've had an incredible career with the state.
And you tried to retire, didn't you?
I did.
Maybe a couple of times, and here you are again.
Yeah, here I am. I'm still here.
Well, for those of you who have not met Mary, you're missing out and or have not heard of her work. It's just absolutely fantastic. Mary, I would call you a sockdologer. It's a word, sockdologer. Okay. And what that means is an exceptional person, highly skilled in their craft. You're a sockdologer, so you can walk around today and, hey, everybody, change your name tag. Just put Mary Craigle, sockdologer, because you are so well-respected in your craft. That's kind of, we're talking about retirement, and so for retirement, to keep my brain active, I have this word of the day thing, and that sockdologer popped up, and I thought it was a perfect explanation of you and the work you've done for Montana. You are recognized as just this expert, and your information, your data, your analysis, your hard work has really driven a lot of success economically and otherwise in the state. So it's an honor to worked with you and to talk with you today.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, this little tiny bureau since 2007 has done about $17.1 billion that we facilitated in investments into Montana, whether it's energy or data centers or ag production. So I'm only as good as my team, so I need to shout out to them for all the incredible work that they have done in the time that I've been here. I've been at Commerce since 2009, so it's been great.
All right. Well, Mary, we're going to dive into, let's talk the economics behind retirement in Montana. I'll just start. Is Montana getting older? I mean, where are we?
We sure are. Montana ranks as the 11th oldest state, and that's a trend that's been happening across the United States everywhere, but Montana actually has been aging slightly faster than a lot of other states. That's why we're up there. The reason is, a lot of the reason is just the baby boom. And so I am the bottom of the baby boom. I'm 62. I was born in 1963. So they consider us kind of the end of the train. And so as Montana, that baby boom population has aged out, every state has seen a slight shift towards the older population.
Well, I didn't that we had some in-migration, and based on some of the information that I've seen, we had a really focused in-migration, 2020 to 2023, then it started to taper off. I think we're flattening out a little bit, but wasn't that in-migration, didn't we see young people come to the state, working age people, didn't that shift that demographic for us a little bit?
So before COVID, we were in the top five for the oldest state. So that shows you just how much that immigration changed things. And again, you got to remember, Montana is a small state. We just have 1,100,000-ish people. And so a shift of any kind when a number of folks move in will actually change that percentage for us a lot faster than it would change a giant state like Texas or Florida.
Yeah, so we went from the fifth oldest state to the 11th oldest state.
Right, but again, it's because of it's a percentage of people, so small numbers. But we did see, we had about up to close to 5% migration coming in terms of statewide population growth during that COVID time. And then it's tapered back off to what we've seen for a really long time, which is around 1%.
Mm. So any idea how many people in Montana retire each year? Or maybe a better way to describe it, how many people turn 65 each year in Montana? What's that cohort look like?
Right. There's 231,000 retirees in Montana right now over the age of 65. That doesn't mean they're all retired. It just means they're over 65. And the retirement age in Montana is around 64. We don't have exact dates on when people retire, so we don't know exactly when folks come in and out, but we do keep track of how many people that is overall.
What do you think, as we age as a state, that boomer big bubble is now happening? If you look at it nationally, what the number that I had heard even a couple of years ago was 10,000 people a day are turning 65. Yeah. And so that, you know, we get impacted by that too. These numbers absolutely demonstrate that. How does that growing 65 plus population impact our economy?
It impacts it in lots of different ways, most of which are positive. The positive thing about retirees is for our economy, they are very stable with their income. So that tax revenue and that stability of their retirement income actually helps our state from any ups and downs that we see for working folks in different industry sectors. And so as a result, retirees are great for the economy. What they buy and what they purchase, of course, is so important. And as that percentage of our state, it really is important for us to look to make sure that they have the services and all of the goods that they want to have and purchase. So that also provides a lot of opportunities for the businesses in service areas around the state of Montana.
Now, Mary, when I started the program today, you might have heard my intro. I started by saying I need help, and I've gotten a ton of advice on this journey that I'm in called retirement. And if I'm retired, I'm not sure what I'm doing, Cody, hosting this show for Tom, but because that's technically like working, right? But anyway, I started that, and so I want to make sure our listeners understand, if you have advice for me as a new retiree or you've got a question for Mary, man, call in. We'd love, or send us a text, whatever you'd like. That call in number is 866-627-5483. And give Steve some advice on retirement or ask Mary a question. we would we'd absolutely love to hear from you. I just, Mary, just got some information through Montana AARP about Montana and Social Security. I don't know if you've seen this, but the number they're saying is Social Security income in Montana injects $5.1 billion into the Montana economy every year. Is that right?
That sounds about right. Yeah, it's a tremendous amount of income that we get from retirees. And again, about 25.3%. So one in four people in our state are households are receiving some kind of retirement income. And that's really important to note because that's a higher number than what the percentage of folks over 65 is. So that tells you, you know, that there's folks that have been able to retire early in Montana. And then there's about 1 in 19% that keep on working past 65. So it's a great example of as you age and hit that number around 64, 65, being prepared and knowing, spending some serious time looking at what you want to do and what fits best for you, working with your investment advisors, working with your family is incredibly important. And it's good to do it like 3 years out before you retire, not the day up. So,
hey, we have a call coming in, but I do want to do a disclaimer. I am definitely not, but nor is Mary, giving you specific financial advice. We don't know your individual financial situation. I hear that disclaimer all the time because I consume these podcasts and I read these books about how do I do retirement. Well, Nancy is calling from Roundup, and maybe she's got a question for you, Mary, or some advice for me. Nancy, thanks for joining us on Voices of Montana.
Well, good morning, Steve and Mary. Good morning, Montana. And, well, I am a retiree. I was forced into an early retirement due to a sciatic, a nerve damage in the back. I went to a neurosurgeon, and then the final physician, MD, said that I'm going to put you on disability because, you know, your back is pretty well shot. But that doesn't stop me, and it doesn't stop a lot of retirees. And you know what I see here in Roundup and around Montana is when someone is retired, they immediately do things that they couldn't do before when they were younger. They do more crafting. They go to flea markets and sell what they craft. They garden and they sell their produce. They do more time, spend more time with their grandkids, and they travel more.
Yeah.
And they do more home cooking and baking, and they do put into the economy. And here in Roundup, most of the seniors that are capable or able, they help those that are not. They take them on shopping trips around town, maybe for $5 or $10.
That's fantastic.
They'll take them around. And there's one woman here who charges $50. She'll take you to Billings, and you can spend all day in Billings for $50. You know, if that's all she wants for gas. And so that's what we do here in Roundup. I'm sure other people in other towns here in Montana do the same. And Mary, I do have a question for you. I bought my house in 1999. It's just an old miner's house here in Roundup. It's a like an original four-bedroom with a bath old miner's home that was built in 1902. And it shows that it's sagging. And I bought it for $12,000 back then. And we got tax assessments, everybody in town here, about a month ago. And I got my tax assessment paper, and they claim my house is worth $114,900 now.
That's great appreciation, Nancy.
Yeah, so we're kind of waiting to see what we're going to be taxed next year. So most of us are kind of setting some money aside, saving for the tax bill next year, because we really don't know what it's going to be. What percentage, do you have any idea as to what percentage a retiree out of their income, maybe 10% or something, they should set aside in case of an emergency for these high tax bills in our state?
Hey, and welcome back to Voices of Montana. We're so excited that you're joining us today and listening throughout the network, throughout the state of Montana. I am so honored to have Mary Craigle with the Department of Commerce, a bureau chief for research and information and analysis, and she's worked for the state for Did you say 31 years?
31 years, buddy.
31. Oh, my gosh. Congratulations to you. And still going 110 miles an hour. My goodness.
I love what I do, and I love the people I work with. So it doesn't feel like work. And I think that's the main reason that I looked at retirement and said, nah, not yet.
And that's why I called you, because you have context for this stage of life, but you also got great numbers to share. Hey, I don't want to ignore the question we got just before the break. Nancy had called from Roundup and had a question about the value of her home. She bought her home. She called it a miner shack for $12,000. And I think the value now is, I can't remember, over 120 or something like that. Right. And so for a senior, you know, they got to kind of navigate what their property tax bill. Any insight for Nancy and others?
Sure. And what I would recommend is that folks check out, my staff puts together this fantastic report out on our website that's updated all the time about the housing situation report. And that website is on the Commerce website, commerce.mt.gov. Up in the corner is data and research. And if you hunt around a little bit, you'll find housing. And I would highly recommend folks look at that, because it tells you some really interesting things. The median home price in Montana at 2023 was $524,000. And that was an increase of 70% higher than 2020. So that shows you exactly what happened to housing like Nancy's in Montana. One of Nancy's questions was, how much should you put away for housing? And it's been a long time rule of thumb. And again, we don't give you investment advice, but a long time rule of thumb was 28 to 30% of your income should be looked at, put away for housing. Now, again, it depends how much money you make. I mean, if you're making millions, you may not need to put that much away. But for those of us that are salaried employees in that normal distribution, about 28 to 30%.
Now, Mary, I was teasing you earlier about the fact that you retired and then you came back. But do Montanans do that? Generally, the sense that I had as I was looking at researching this, I thought, all right, Montanans, we just work. And so when we hit a retirement, we may finish one thing, but we're just going back to work at something else. Are there numbers that bear that out? Talk to us about that.
There sure are. Yeah, so Montana ranks among the highest of states. We used to be number one, and I haven't been able to find this stat lately, but we used to be number one in individuals that had more than one job. So that may mean you're leaving one job and just staying more part-time with the other job, because that's what a lot of folks in Montana have done. And I do believe that Montanans are the hardest working people in the country, because we need to, you know, we're just the can-do kind of folks that it's 40 miles to town. If the tractor breaks, you just figure it out. So we know how to work. We're also highly educated as a population, and we also are about the friendliest place that you can travel to, which makes it a reason that people want to stay engaged in their communities. We all pitch in many, many ways to help out, and I think that's part of, as we look at retiring, going back to that core values of what you have and the core things that you enjoy the most in life, so you can really, really dig into those and make the best of it.
Now, Mary, I was mentioning to you on the break that I looked at a study, and it was talking about this, you know, this what next kind of thing, where you finish one career and then you start another career. And what the study said is that professional people have more of a tendency to do that than me. If I'm out, you know, I'm working at a job that maybe was very physically intensive, my view of the opportunity for retirement might be different. I might go, you know what, I need to give my body and mind a rest, and I'm just going to enjoy my grandkids. But professionals maybe lean toward, hey, I can do consulting, I can do other things, I want to write, I'm going to stay in the workforce, or I'm just going to go to work somewhere where I really wanted to work. Now I can make that. Do you see that happening that way?
Yeah, if you look at different sectors, different industry sectors, you see that folks in the construction sector, for example, do tend to just retire and at a lower average age than folks often like an accounting, lawyer, professionals. So that the numbers do totally bear out what you're saying.
Now, Mary, you mentioned some characteristics of Montana that make it a great place for us to live. That's why we live here. We love it. It's friendly. It's just this engaging both environment, the natural topography, but also the people. But I've been looking at some rankings, and I've looked at how does Montana stack. Is Montana a great place to retire? And you got so there's lists out there for just about everything, and there are a ton of lists. I think this happens when you turn 65. Somewhere in cyberspace knows that you do that, and then you get flooded with all this information, and I've been consuming it. And so I found a ranking, and it ranks the top states for retirement. It looks at certain characteristics. When we come back, I want to dive into that detail, but and so I'll give you a little bit of a framework for that when we come back from this next break. But it, how do you view Montana stacking up as a good place for retirement?
Yeah, Montana offers a lot of great reasons to retire. But I do think, going back to what we were talking about earlier, each individual has to really spend some time looking at what it is that will fulfill their lives and make them feel engaged and valuable in what they're continue to do after they leave whatever their working environment is, whether that's a new job, whether that's moving to an incredible place like Montana, or selling everything and living on a houseboat somewhere in the Pacific, right? So,
is that your next chapter? Are you gonna do that? Because I'm not doing that. That's too much water for me. No. Hey, one dilemma that I think retirees have. I know this is an early on experience for me. Is my wife and I would like to downsize, but you just mentioned that the median home price $524,000 in Montana, and we may be sitting in a home that's worth less than that. We go, okay, we want to downsize. A, the inventory isn't what it needs to be. And B, the cost to downsize in some cases more than what you can get out of your own home. And my wife and I have been kind of, oh man, do we really want to downsize? Because that's a trick. So that whole housing piece is one of the factors that people look at when they choose a state for retirement.
Exactly. And right now, on that report I mentioned out on the website, it says our homeowner vacancy rate is 0.8%. So less than 1% of the housing market is available in Montana. Now, that's a 2023 number. I know that is softening some, but still, I mean, that's an incredibly low number of available homeowner vacancy to look at for what kind of housing you need to move to if you're looking at downsizing.
Yeah, and that's it's not only a big factor, obviously, as we talk about retirees, but everybody in the Montana marketplace, housing is an issue. It's part of what we have to solve economically as we grow as a state. When we come back, go ahead, Mary.
Right. I was going to say something I failed to mention, that the average retirement age I mentioned, 64, that's actually been going higher. So, and we expect that to continue. The Montana legislature, the MARA committee, did a great report about retirement age, and that age is expected to continue to grow from that 64 number higher all the way through 2030. And a big part of that is we need the workforce to continue. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that too.
Absolutely. This is Steve Arviscow. I have the pleasure of filling in for Tom. Tom is actually off fishing. I don't know if he's catching anything, but he's wetting the line, and I don't know if he fly fishes or if he's throwing, I don't know what, but he's taking a well-deserved break. And so he's given me the opportunity to come in and be your guest host today. And thank you for allowing me to do that. Listeners, thank you for indulging me in this opportunity to talk with you. We are on the phone with Mary Craigle. Mary's with the Department of Commerce. She's been at work with Commerce for over 30 years. She is what I call a sockdologer, which means a known expert in her field, well-respected. Mary, thank you again for joining us.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome, Steve. So it's been really fun. I'm really glad to be here.
Hey, and I before we broke, we took that break. We were talking about how Montana ranks among the other states when people decide, all right, where do I want to retire? And if you're in Montana, I would guess the majority of us just stay put because it's such a beautiful place to be. Maybe we have family and we're connected here and there's no reason to go anywhere else. But some people do venture out, and there's analysis out there and lists that say, all right, here's the top states for retirement. So hold on to your thinking around that, because we're going to get some more advice or a question from one of our callers, and then we'll dive into how Montana stacks up as one of those states to choose for retirement. We've got Chris on the line from Columbia Falls. Chris, do you have any advice for me for retirement or a question for Mary?
Well, thank you, Steve. Mary, hold this back in your mind for a minute.
Okay.
Proposition 13, I believe, was instituted in Southern California anyway that I know of, and it had to do with
property taxes. Yep.
Now, just put that aside for a second, but you had a good caption there, hold on to your money. And that's what most Montanans are doing. I'm retirement age. I'm 85, so I'm not retired. I just keep working.
Good for you, Chris.
I was looking for a magazine, and it's put out Montana, home and land, big sky country. There's 47 pages there, chock full of way over $1 million homes. Now, I would advise you, if you're going to move, you don't move to places like Vermont. And I can see possibly Montana ending that way, in a way with the tax structure. So I think older people who have property, I've been here since 74. So, I've had a number of different homes. But, I mean, to hold on to those homes with the tax structure, if you're on a lower income, not other than you can afford $11 million homes, there's one near here.
Right.
So Proposition 13, I believe it was, that was the one that when you get older, you can retire, and they freeze any taxes that you have to pay on your property until it's sold.
Yep.
Are you aware of that one? I don't think it's
possible.
Go ahead, Mary.
I actually, believe it or not, used to be a property tax analyst at the Department of Revenue in my 31 years.
Of course you were.
Of course I was. Yeah. And I would very much encourage retirees to look real hard at the programs offered. Both the legislature has just added a couple of new programs, but also there are several different programs at the Montana Department of Revenue for low income or elderly tax property owners that give you a break. So if your income is below a specific level relative to the value of your home, you can actually apply for the elderly homeowner credit and get a break on that taxes. The other thing, we talked about taxes before a little bit. Montana, as of course, as all of us know, does not have a sales tax. So really income tax and property taxes are two ways to fuel the economy. That valuation, as I mentioned, has gone up 70%, which has been a lot for a lot of households in Montana to deal with. But I applaud the legislature for working with folks to try to, they did lower the tax rate. They're looking at continued ways to help Montanans keep their home and keep it affordable.
Chris, thank you for your question. Mary, that affordability issue is kind of center stage when people pick a place they want to retire, not just a state, but even on the community level, right? So there are communities in Montana that are more affordable than others. And that affordability question. So the rankings that I saw the other day from Bankrate, it was called the best and worst states for retirees in 2025. And this is kind of funny that the gentleman mentioned Vermont because New Hampshire right next door, was overall ranked number one. Wyoming was ranked number three, Idaho number five. And then you go down the list. Montana was ranked 17 in the best states for retirement. Now, here are the factors that they looked at. And then I'm going to have you help me pick these apart today. So they looked at local taxes, just exactly what we're talking about, not just local taxes tax structure and how that impacts, then overall affordability, that could be the cost of housing, other things, weather. I was teasing.
Yeah.
I don't know how Montana scores. How did Montana score? We're number 36 on weather. So there,
yeah.
But yeah, that's just who we are. We do have all great four seasons. One of them just lasts longer than a few others. And then they also looked at safety, healthcare, people of similar age, and then like arts and culture was also a category there. And these states ranked, you know, like Wyoming, for example, was third overall. Right. It had the number one ranking among all 50 states for local taxes. It was number four in affordability, where Montana, for affordability, we were ranked 34 in affordability. What's driving that?
What's driving that affordability is the seven urban centers in Montana have become much more expensive, particularly a few of them, Kalispell, Missoula, Bozeman, have really driven up that number of affordability. And again, remember, these are all averages. So if you look at the land size of Montana, right, and you think about how big those seven areas are in proportion to the whole rest of the state and all the small communities everywhere, it's really kind of not a great stat to look at. And that's, I think, what's so important when folks are looking at things is to really spend a little time, work with your financial advisor and understand those numbers. Because again, if I look at the average for Montana, yeah, it's really high. But if I look at the cost of living in some of our wonderful communities like Havre or Sydney or other places around the state, that's a very different picture. And so mid-sized cities, smaller towns provide diverse options for retirees in Montana, and exactly most of those other characteristics you mentioned about the good things about Montana, you will find all of those in those mid-sized and small communities.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
I'm not dissing the big ones, but they have become more expensive.
I'm looking at our Voices of Montana Network radio stations out there, and you have Dillon. I have family in Dillon. Dillon would be a great place to retire. And
yeah.
You have Glendive. Great Falls is affordable. I would argue a little bit Billings is still relatively affordable in some ways. Miles City, very affordable community in Montana. Interesting in this study, local taxes. Now, local taxes, Montana ranked fifth. And I think that has to do with the fact that we don't have a sales tax, and maybe there's some other things that drive that. But then affordability, we were 34th. And so I think a lot of that has to do with housing. And
it is.
Yeah.
That 70% increase in housing overall. And again, this is the problem. When you look at the state overall, you get a very different percentage, right, than if I say, well, what was the valuation growth in a town like Glendive or in a town like Miles City? So again, any way that commerce can ever help folks look at numbers, that's what we're here for, to help provide the kinds of information as folks look at retirement, look at what they want to, where they want to be and what they want to do.
That is very, very helpful. Mary, one of the things I kind of dove into after I looked at this, and I thought, all right, Wyoming, you rank high local because they don't have income tax, right? So,
correct.
And then I looked further, 41 states don't tax Social Security income, 41 states, 15 states don't tax pensions. And then there are 12 states out there that don't tax IRA distributions. So some of those states are very senior heavy and they've gone all in on taking care of that senior population. I'm not advocating necessarily one way or another for Montana, but there's some states that when you just look at a tax structure, man, they've really leaned heavy towards supporting retirees in their community. Thoughts on that?
Absolutely. But the one thing is if one state had such a fabulous tax structure that it drove decisions completely, everybody'd be there. And I think that's what's important. Tax situations are very important. Obviously, you have to be able to afford a lifestyle that you can be comfortable, particularly when it comes to your healthcare situation. But again, that's just a piece of the puzzle. I think Montana is hard to beat in terms of if you're an outdoor person, you love culture, you love scenery, you love communities that are embracing and a view friendly incredibly safe place to live. We rank incredibly high in terms of low crime rates, safety, good places to raise children, have always been. So if you want to be a senior that's involved with working with kids, all those other factors have to play into what your decision is.
Yeah, it's definitely a whole package. It's family connections. It's people. It's being able to be engaged. One thing I always heard about Montana, man, you can get involved. You can connect with leaders in your community. You can be a part of driving your local community forward. And I see that happen. I saw it over my almost 17 years in economic development. If you want to be engaged in a state and move forward with it, be a part of it, and then have this beautiful vista, mountain range, blue skies that we have, and Montana's the place for that. We've had the fastest hour in radio just evaporate in front of us. We've been talking to Mary Kregel with the Department of Commerce. Mary, thank you. It's such a pleasure to talk with you, work with you on just talking about retirement in Montana. And I know the Department of Commerce has great resources for homeowners, retire. Give us just a short little list of maybe, hey, here's a few resources. Pay attention to this if you need information from the Department of Commerce.
Sure. So let's break it out into like three categories. So for those folks that want to just change careers or start a business and do those things, the business division led by McKinsey Esplund here is a great resource. Not only for guiding you as you start a business, but also there's some different funding programs that may be available. Steve, you mentioned housing. Cheryl Cohen runs the housing division here. She does an amazing job working with folks, finding ways to make housing affordable, and also just discussing your housing situation. So the experts in that area are tremendous in helping. And then just overall, commerce has so many great assets. I mean, again, I mentioned our website for data of any kind, whether it's about aging, if it's about housing, if it's about economic conditions, but also environmental conditions, et cetera. We can help guide your exploration, the discovery of somebody that's looking at retirement and really trying to make some of the best decisions they can.
Mary, thank you. That is great information. Montana really is a great place to retire, and you're an example of why. We have such great people here, and you are that sockdolager that we were talking about. You need to look that up to make sure I'm not saying anything inflammatory. But you are an expert in your field, and a great just been a great part of what helps keep Montana moving forward. So thank you, Mary, for joining us.
Oh, Steve, thanks so much. Yeah, hey,
we've been in the middle of the first day of a two-part series on retirement in Montana. Today we picked on some of the numbers, and Mary gave us great resources to consider. Tomorrow, Cody, we're going to talk to Karen Gross. Karen is a Montana author. She's wrote a number of books. But the one book I'm really intrigued about that we're going to talk about tomorrow is called What's Next? And that's a book that helps people decide, not just in retirement, but maybe they run a roadblock with their current career. They want to do something next. Karen's going to help us kind of dissect, look at a little model about discovering your next chapter. Full disclosure, Karen has been very helpful with me on that. She's also an executive coach and team builder and does so many things. You're going to love learning a little bit more about Karen, and we're going to have a great conversation about retirement in Montana. And I'm going to ask Karen what bucket she would say as people approach retirement. Would she say, heck no, don't do that? Or would she go, hey, go have that 20-year vacation, enjoy yourself, heck yes? Or would she say, what the heck are you going to do? Well, we're going to figure that out tomorrow with Karen Gross as we continue our discussion about retirement in Montana.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.